I saw the overall ranking of South Sudan in the report, which is ranked among the 180 countries. South Sudan is basically 178, and it is scored 13 out of possible 100 points. Basically shows how terrible the country is in terms of combating corruption. And it goes from the scale of 0 as 1 to 100 as the best. I don't mean it's really quite a bad ranking for South Sudan in terms of how it's trying to fight corruption, putting in place the systems and the required processes that can at least stop the vice. So basically the report is not good in my view. But of course, it also showcases the realities of the ground, that corruption remains endemic, and it's not only institutionalized within, say, the public sector, but it's more or less becoming a way of life that even ordinary citizens, whether knowingly or unknowingly, they find themselves in an act of corrupt practice. So that's basically what I can say.
How do you see, really, the link here between a healthy democracy and fighting public sector corruption?
First of all, I'd like to mention that we have opportunities available in the River Flight Agreement. If we read Chapter 4 and even Chapter 1 on governance, it has quite strong emphasis on how to combat corruption, and specifically ensuring that the government will increase transparency in its public financial management practices, ensure that the media and the civil society have access to some of these documentation that can really help combat corruption. And also, there's a provision that provides for the review and the reconstitution of the Anti-Corruption Commission. Such measures are all positive steps. And of course, outside the Riverdance Agreement, we know that we had the Anti-Corruption Act, which has really provided some of the legal process and procedures to ensure that corruption can be tackled. But on the flip side, there has been limited progress in terms of supporting the anti-corruption body and strengthening its mandate to be really as effective and efficient that every citizen will expect to tackle public related corruption, whether in the public sector or even outside the public sector. But like I said, we can also focus on the public sector, but we need to look at also the practices of the citizens. The things that happen in day-to-day life that one will not know that they amount to corruption, but indeed they, in one or the other, promote corruption. Because when you look at the data sources that the Transparency International use, the elements that determine the level of corruption in each country, there are things to do with bribery, there are things to do with diversion of public funds, use of public office for private gain, nepotism, civil service, state capture. These are some of the things that are looked at as the indicators for determining whether a country has moved ahead or is still lagging behind. Yeah, so I'll say in terms of how the government or what we expect from the government is that the government has a responsibility to enforce, for example, integrity and intelligence within its public service and its institutions to say that the public funds are used for their intended purpose and as well as public assets are safeguarded from private use. But I think that's where it is really a significant weakness, I would say, on the side of the government to enforce some of these integrity mechanisms in place. And also the issue of prosecuting corrupt officials. When the legal system do not really tackle those alleged to have misused offices or misused public funds, then that also provides a precedent for others to continue to undertake similar practices without knowing that it's really a big problem. So basically, I would say those are the key issues that in the South Sudan context that need to be tackled. Of course, there are things like the closure of public assets by senior public officials and government, which is not happening, and the issue of conflict of interest, which in my view is really a big problem, because if you look at South Sudan, it's very common that most huge contracts involving government procurement are either taken up by senior government officials or at least somebody linked to somebody in government. And I think those are some of the things that can also affect the country's image in terms of fighting corruption. And it's within the government really pursue to say that they can mitigate some of those things. The most important point I'd like just to make, finally, is on the issue of public audit. Without effective public audit, then it's difficult for even the government to know how its resources have been utilized. At the moment, the last government report released on its expenditure is probably 10 years or 12 years ago, and that means basically the country has been spending without its account being audited. And if you don't have the audit reports out, then the parliament even cannot function. They cannot scrutinize how public money has been used to see whether there's really cases of alleged mismanagement of public resources or not. So I think, again, public audit remains a big issue and concern that needs to be taken care of.